Hello, America, and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and joining me as always is Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Elogi. Say hi, everybody.
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah, so first show of a new era. It's just us four for right now. And for the record, Phil's fine. It's just he's decided that, you know, he needs to get some of his ducks in order right now. So he's off doing his own thing. And, you know, he might come back someday. We don't know.
Yeah.
But we miss him, obviously. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, we can do pretty good ourselves. So anyway, so this episode is going to be for July 3rd, 2020, day before July 4th. And that sound you heard is every dog's butthole suddenly clenching as tight as it possibly can. Because they know what's coming.
Oh, they do.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Are they still doing the fireworks around you guys?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Georgia. They're legal here now.
Yeah, I think they canceled them here.
There is one.
Well, they canceled them. The governor, I mean, the official, you know, like the state fireworks stuff. Yeah, that's probably canceled, but you can buy them here. So
yeah.
So we'll probably have neighbors and such firing them off in their backyards.
Oh yeah.
Yep. I like that.
Driving all the pets in the neighborhood crazy.
I'm looking at the page here for Canton. For the 4th of July. It's like this weekend's all about the red, white, and blue, whether you're visiting Canton or you're from Canton. We have all the summer fun activities and special events that are happening. Right under it, asterisk, no for 2020. There are no public fireworks displays in Stark County for the 4th of July.
No public fireworks, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, I have a feeling that COVID is going to create just a nice list of 4th of July bullshit that we'll probably be talking about next week.
Oh, yeah, like when we...
That's gonna be a good amount to unpack.
Like when things are starting to open up around Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And we're like, oh, the shit's going to hit the fan. And
yeah.
And here we are.
Yep.
Still talking
it's not
about
even
shit
winter. It's
fan.
Not even fall yet.
It's just a light coating right now, shit.
Yeah. The real shit's going to hit when winter rolls around.
Maybe get a second coat, maybe go for third later.
Yeah.
Got to get the nutty stuff on there first.
Yeah. So anyway, what are we going to have for you this week for the show? Well, prepare yourselves, because we got another load from the COVID-19 dump truck, because we knew there was going to be one, and, oh boy, we have a big load this week.
Hot steaming load.
Yeah. Also, a bunch of bullshit from the White House, some of it particularly heinous.
Yeah.
And, oh yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't get much worse with government scandals when it involves the death of our own soldiers. So,
yeah,
SCOTUS is both on our Asshole of the Week and Hero of the Week list, because they made one boneheaded decision and then also made another decision that is hysterically funny, and we'll explain. And the ghost of Jeffrey Epstein still keeps haunting the world because his ex-girlfriend and woman who procured all those young girls for him, she was arrested this week, and let's just hope she survives until the trial.
Mm-hmm.
We got some other stuff. Since 4th of July is almost here, there's a certain hashtag that started trending on Twitter. Some more statues came down as well. Well, I'll tell you all about that and more on this week's episode of Let's Weekend. So, start us off, as we always do. Pat, what have you been up to this week?
Not a thing except Phantasy Star Online 2. I'm completely engrossed in this game, and with the delay for Final Fantasy 14... 5.3, it's probably, you know, it's going to have plenty of time to dominate my gaming. And other than that, I'm just hoping to use this 3-day weekend to get my streaming stuff set up for Xbox so that I can actually stream it.
Oh, yeah.
So that's it for me.
All right. All right, Teresa, what about you?
I have been arguing with people on Facebook because they're stupid. We are having a little bit of local politics that I don't really think we should talk about here. Just know that what one little county judge rules does not apply to an entire state. Especially when other little county judges en masse have ruled in the opposite direction. So Illinois is stupid, or at least some of our people are stupid. I got a new laptop about 4 hours ago, and I can't wait to put it through its gaming paces. Phantasy Star Online is going to absolutely be happening on this.
Yes.
So far, so good. I got the Asus Zephyrus G14, and I super wish I got it in black because I cannot read the keys on the white one. So there's two...
That sucks.
Yeah, there's two bad things about the laptop. And the first one is the backlighting on the keyboard, and I'm sure they're going to come out with some sort of software fix for that. But it's actually... It actually makes it... I can't read my number keys at all. If I have a black background and I move the screen to where it shines onto the keyboard, nothing. Mm-hmm. If I have a white background, I can sometimes see them. So we'll see. The other thing is that it's not touchscreen, and I knew that going in, and I still keep trying to touch the goddamn screen. But it is a nice little thing. It runs super cool because I turned off Turbo, of course, as soon as I got it. Just a little reg edit and some settings tweaks. It takes like all of 2 minutes. But I want to see what this little thing can do with gaming because I don't always have access to the big computer. Like right now, it is being used by another gamer, which is cool. So fingers crossed. I have been looking for another laptop for quite a while. And I hope that this one's going to work, although I may have to go to Best Buy and say, hey, guys, swap this for a black one. But we've been staying holed up because of the numbers not just drifting upwards for infections, skyrocketing upwards, as we'll talk about soon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I put my fish in the hospital, so Lord Sashomaru spent most of the day in a hospital tank. Yeah, that poor fish. I just think that he is a sad, unfortunate side effect of beta inbreeding.
Oh.
So he wasn't very happy about it, and I had to put the splatter shield that we use for cooking over his hospital tank.
Okay, what kind of fish is Lord Sashomaru?
Lord Sashomaru is a beautiful, or at least he was, until he got some sort of weird cancer or some shit. He's a beautiful blue beta with long flowing fins. And he reminded me very much of Lord Sashomaru, so I named him Lord Sashomaru. So, yeah.
Fucking nerds. I swear to God.
Geeks, dude. This is geekdom. But yeah, he's the successor to Gyarados, my last beta, who was also blue. I just made it worse, didn't I?
Yeah.
But we've been watching Castlevania Season 3, and we only have 3 episodes left, and like we have to hold back not to just like shoot through everything in a day. Because like our bones would get all creaky if we did. We can't just sit and watch TV all day long. But PSO2 actually took a backseat for the past couple of days for some couch co-op. So Scott and I were playing Kingdom 2 Crowns. And, yeah, we're going to play that on the PC because it doesn't get slogged down like the Xbox does.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but still, I did play a good bit of Phantasy Star Online 2 this week. And Animal Crossing. That's pretty much it. A lot. But, you know, what else am I going to do? Can't go anywhere. Chris?
All right, Chris, what about you?
I watched Hamilton, since that's on Disney Plus now. And
finally got to see it the way it was meant to be seen.
Yeah, it's really well done.
Oh, yeah.
And it's in such high def that you get to see when the different performers are spitting during their singing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the guy that plays King George.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's on purpose.
Yeah.
He's
But they go real close in on the shots. And so you see him just spitting every time. It's like, I don't feel, I feel bad for the person that has to make sure that outfit is clean and sanitary, every night. Cause he is spitting on his, scarf and whatever, all the time. So yeah, that's, but yeah, the show itself is really well done. And it looks, it makes it look like they had cameras all over the stage, when they were doing that. Cause they get some really good shots that must mean they just have some really good, I don't know, cause it can't be just GoPros or anything like that they just put on the stage. Cause it, most of the camera shots I saw, like, moved around and zoomed in on people and all that stuff, so I don't know. But, they did a really good job with that. And there's a really good, bit of extra to it that is like this interview that, I guess the people at the Undefeated did, with the cast. Talking about, it's pretty recent too, cause it's all Zoom calls, with, pretty much everybody of the main part of the cast. And, Lynn and, his writing buddy, talking about, the show itself, the impact it's had on culture and in the wake of the Black Lives Matter movement, in recent weeks, especially seeing a number of, lines from the show that's used in, signs and such, that, and their kind of, thoughts and all that kind of stuff, which is like good, like 33 minutes. It's well worth the watch, for that. It's, and it's a great time for it too, here on the third, going into the holiday weekends. And for a reason, I followed up with the Simpsons movie. So I was like, something that was like more poppy and I hadn't seen it in a while. And that movie is still pretty good. There's definitely some points where it's weirdly pertinent for, the Simpsons where they're, so like the whole thing is that they get, Homer ends up causing, an ecological catastrophe in the Lake Springfield that causes the EPA to just put a giant dome around the city.
Yeah.
And they managed to get out the Simpsons after they just found out that Homer's the one that caused it all. Or caused the tipping point. And yeah, they get out to Alaska into a cabin and they do a very Disney thing of like animals coming in to help Homer and Marge undress to have sex, I guess. And then they stick around for it and they're completely horrified. It's like I had the subtitles on and specifically it's like, oh, Disney music, Disney style music coming on, for this whole sequence. And then there's later where they're heading back, Marge and the kids and Bart's like rooting in people's luggage up top and puts a bra on top of his head and is like, I'm a mouse for an evil corporation. That kind of thing, making Disney jokes that are not more important because it's owned by Disney.
Yep. That's right.
There's also some parts that didn't age well, like the Inuit woman that like fixes Homer's brain, I guess, when he's unable to come to the realization that he should go with his family. That kind of thing. It's like, this probably isn't necessarily great, but yeah, you get to see Bart's dick. For
wonderful,
yeah.
He's so had to see that,
yeah. Especially because they devise like an entire 5-minute sequence where they block it 99% of the time, just for the last little bit that they do. So yeah, it's a pretty good movie.
Oh yeah,
better than a lot of the stuff I remember seeing around that time. But yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I must have been playing Rocket League this week since the 5th anniversary event is going on. It's for another 2 weeks, I think, until the 13th. And yeah, been enjoying that. Did a stream on Tuesday. Kind of just playing a bunch of it and showing off some of the items that they were, that they're offering. Managed to get one unlocked during the stream. And, yeah, mostly did pretty well there. Didn't really have any good, bad or good streaks, but that was pretty fun. And picked up a new game that is on, I think, both iOS and Android, as well as Steam. It's called Golf on Mars. It is a 2D golf game that seems like it's going to be endless in terms of, okay, so it's 2D. You're basically, you just click on any part of the screen or touch on any part of the screen, pull it in the direction, in the opposite of the direction that you wanted to the ball to shoot, and depending on how far you pull it, how hard it gets hit. So you're trying to get to the next hole, get it in the hole. Basically, then once you get in the hole, hopefully in like one shot or maybe a couple shots, it then the ball races out of the hole, and then it scrolls over and shows you where the next hole is. Then you just kind of keep doing this seemingly infinite amount of times. I have it on Android and Steam because it's like $3. I think on for its launch, it's like $2.50 on Steam now.
Mm-hmm.
The achievements for it seems to suggest it's gonna take a while to get through the stages. And this is a follow-up to Desert Golf on mobile.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also on Steam as well. It's also on sale, but the has four achievements. One is get 100 holes, 1,000 mm-hmm. holes, 10,000 holes, and then 1 billion holes. So I've gotten to 51 on PC. I think I'm at like 180 something on my phone. And it's a really good, like, I've got some time to kill. I'll get through a few holes here. And it's also a huge troll game. Because the terrain, it often devises it so that you, because you can't see like a huge amount of space around what the screen is showing, so you can't. It oftentimes kind of tricks you into maybe going harder, and then your ball just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling way past where you want it to go. I've had at times where I'm going for one hole, it managed to roll past the hole after that, maybe towards even the hole after that. In a way, it's just like, oh, you fucking asshole game, in a good way, but. Yeah, it's a fun game. It's very simplistic in style and all that, but it's one of those games that you could probably play for, you know, 10 minutes here, 30 minutes there, or you just turn it on when you're bored and you realize it's 2 hours later, and that you're playing a fucking phone game. Yeah. It's like the fairly simple for what it is, but it's kind of addictive in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's kind of been mostly what I've been playing, and I look forward to these next couple weeks where it's going to be fucking hot as hell.
Oh, so looking forward to it.
Oh, we're already there.
We're basically looking at about...
It's 95
two
degrees
weeks.
Out there right now.
Yeah, we're looking at like 2 weeks straight of 90-ish. No rain in sight or anything like that, so that's going to be super fun.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yep. As for me, I'm just crossing my fingers and hope we can go through another summer without having to deal with another tropical storm. In the middle of fucking Georgia!
Did you get any of the sandstorm that supposedly hit last week?
Yep.
Alright. I think it was too far south for us up here.
How many more people have to die before everyone realizes that God hates the South?
Seems like there's millions of people lining up for that.
Yeah.
For that.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, as for me, I finished The Last of Us Part 2. That game is amazing.
Mm.
Like, holy shit, it is so worth playing. If you have not read Dan Reb's review on Smashpad yet, read it, because he basically echoes everything I myself have said. It's a damn good game, and I absolutely understand why some people would be incredibly put off by it. Not for the stupid reasons like, oh, you're supposed to be a trans character in there. She has too many muscles. That means she can't be a lady. You know, all that bullshit.
Good God.
I mean more like the fact that the violence is really fucking intense, and sometimes you have to beat dogs. Like, that happens sometimes. Because, I mean, it's either you or them. You don't do it, they'll tackle you and tear your face off. And I mean that literally. They straight up rip pieces of your face off.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. And then you end up going doing a flashback, and you end up getting to play fetch with some of the very same dogs you yourself just killed earlier in the game.
Nope.
Nope.
They all have names.
Yep. Nope. Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Should be another mode they just changed the dogs' names. Mm. Just that you can have plausible deniability.
Yeah.
I want to believe this dog lives a long and happy life.
Yeah. Don't worry about him. He just went to a farm upstate. Where he can run around and play to his heart's content. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, so since I'm finished with that, pretty much I'm kind of stuck doing whatever game-wise, at least until Ghost of Tsushima comes out week after next. So right now I've been playing Catherine. Thanks to my PS Now subscription, I'm sort of able to stream that game over my PS4. And most fortunately, it's not as hard to do. That game isn't particularly graphics-heavy.
No, but so you'll have some definite challenges with the later puzzle stuff.
Oh, yeah, that game gets stupid hard towards the end. I know.
Well, you'll miss out on the transphobia storyline.
Yeah.
Which maybe is probably good.
Well, this is the original Catherine.
Yeah, I'm saying you're missing out on that because that's what was added for the new version.
Well, actually, in the new version, that whole story ends up becoming really super positive. Because you're talking about Rin, right? Or you're talking about Erica?
Rin.
Rin? Yeah, Rin is not trans. It's just a dude. Well, actually, let me make this more clear. Rin, it turns out, is actually a member of an alien race of monogendered pink-haired humanoids that just so happen to look like effeminate young men.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least that's how they look when they're on Earth. You actually end up meeting the others of his particular alien species who are not taking that form. But it doesn't matter anyway, because the good ending is not only does Vincent say he's cool with it, but they end up getting married.
Yeah, that didn't happen in my playthrough. You know, did everything nice, I think, with everybody.
Yeah.
I don't know what you have to do to...
If you do a good playthrough, it ends up... The true freedom, the true good ending, it ends up ending very positively. Like, astonishingly positively.
Yeah, I don't know what I could have done differently, so...
Catherine is one of those games that's so fucking hard, it's... You basically have to be a savant to be able to get the really good endings in it. But,
Also, I think it has weird stuff that changes with the story. And there's stuff that's, like, rigid, where it's like... You know, I was as nice as I could be with Catherine, considering all the shit that was going on. And then nothing really changes as far as what can change.
I can't remember. I think there's also something about, like, I think, like, your ranking as far as how you end up passing each puzzle, I think, also might count towards it.
It's also, like, the notion of actually working with the people that you meet in the nightmare stuff.
Yeah.
As far as them staying alive, and that's all weird, and I had a few people that stayed around.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotta admit, though, Catherine, to me, is like a really good example of how you can take some very, very... Because Catherine has like a really fucked, mind-bending story, and it's a fairly deep puzzle game.
Yeah.
It's heavy on, like, choices and stuff. There's, like, a heavy kind of visual novel quality to it, even though you're doing it all in, like, the part of a third person. Because literally, in that entire game, there's literally only three places at any given time that you're playing in. You're either in the nightmare, you're at one of the midpoints in the nightmare where you get to talk to the other sheep, or you're at the stray sheep, you know, the bar. Where you can work jukebox, talk with the other people, have conversations, play Rapunzel, you know, the arcade game.
That game really needed, like, a story mode, an easier mode.
Yeah.
So that people could just focus on the non-puzzle stuff if they wanted to.
Yeah. But, It's
and legit. Also the drunker you get at the bar, the sprier you get in the nightmare world.
Yeah, because that totally makes sense. but yeah, yeah, that game takes some weird fucking turns towards the end, though. So, but anyway, so other than that, basically been getting the most out of my Netflix subscription before it runs out, and I'll explain why in just a moment. But for those of you who haven't been watching Netflix now, Studio Trigger's new anime, Brand New Animal, is now on Netflix. So you can watch that to your heart's content. I watched the first episode last night. It's actually really good. Legitimately funny at times. It's Studio Trigger. You know what you're getting getting into when you do it. It's going to be – the animation's going to be over-exaggerated. There's going to be a bunch of fan service. And the story is usually going to be batshit insane. Yeah, so you know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
But the thing is, hopefully, at least, you know, that subscription to Netflix will probably be running out in the next week or so because, well, let me tell you a story. It's around, I'd say Tuesday morning. I got up and, you know, I got out of the shower and my phone was vibrating. So I turned it on and I had a text message from my mother. Now, because, you know, me and my parents, we all live in the same house, all of our bank accounts are sort of connected with each other.
Yeah.
Because, you know, on occasion we need to help move some money around or whatever. So we all keep track of our finances. And my mom sent me a text message that said, Brandon, sweetheart, I don't want you to panic, but I think somebody might have stolen your identity. Yeah. She says,
but you're gonna
yeah.
panic because that's a panic kind of text.
Yeah.
Yeah. She said, you know, so I went on to online. I looked into my bank account, and yep, there's $244 in the red.
Oh.
Overdraft. Oh. Yep. Basically, it looks like what happened is, and Phil apparently even explained how they did it, but basically somebody managed to hack into my PSN account and made a bunch of purchases that I totally did not make.
Yeah.
So I have to call the bank. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, oh gosh, that's a nightmare. It'll get fixed, but I mean, it could take up to 6 weeks. That's a pain.
Yeah. So I basically called the bank. I called my local banker. I told her, you know, I've been the victim of fraud. They said, okay, we can go ahead and, like, cancel the card now so that no other charges can go through with it. It's like, all right, cool. Now, we actually, you know, said, I'm guessing you're going to want to make fraud claims. I said, yeah. It's like, okay, well, we'll have to wait a couple days because you can't actually put the fraud claim through until it's been hard-coded. Yeah, you guys know how it is. Like, you're looking at, like, list of charges in your account, and it's the ones that say pending. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't actually do a fraud claim until after, you know, it's hard-coded into the system. So,
I found that out.
Yeah. So, after that was happened, I called my banker again. She's mailing a couple of some forms that I need to fill out. You know, and then after that, I can just go back up to the branch that she works at because it's literally just downtown and give them to her in person. And they can go ahead and try and speed that process as quick as they can. But for the time being, I'm basically flat fucking broke.
Actually, no,
I'm not even flat fucking broke.
You're
because
beyond?
I am beyond flat fucking broke. I literally do not have no money.
Yeah.
I pine to be destitute, but, yeah. And, keep in mind, because it's still hard coded into the system, that also means there's still the possibility that the system will try and put in an overdraft fee.
Yeah. And that'll have to be reversed.
Yeah.
So are you
which they can
that?
Reverse that.
Okay.
Yeah. They can reverse that. That doesn't have to work, but, you know, having to get all that money back. Well,
yeah.
That's the part that's going to take some work. But, So,
and then, like, everything that you have that comes out of that account is going to have to be changed.
Yeah. I've had my debit card canceled. They're sending me a new one. Hopefully it will be here by Monday. And, of course, you know, I got in contact with people at Sony, and I was able to basically change the email and password that's associated with my account. And I've also put in a two-factor authentication now. So
thank you. Yes.
Never going to have this fucking problem again, if I can have anything to do with it.
There's some account that I have. It may be my Nintendo account. I don't think I have. Maybe I do have multi-factor authorization. There's something out there that I know I have to address.
Yeah.
And it's one of my gaming accounts. But yeah, the multi-factor thing, every time you can, add it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Total pain in the ass, but the alternative is way more, as you're finding out.
Yes. All right. Well, so, yeah, for the moment, I'm trying to get the most out of my PSN, PS Now, and Netflix and Funimation accounts before they are inevitably canceled, before I can put some more funds in there. So, yeah, trying to get the best out of them while I can.
Yeah.
So, yeah, fun. So much fun.
Greatest.
So much fun. But anyway, so with that out of the way, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And who here knows about the Spanish Inquisition?
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. Sorry, it had to
You
be
know,
said.
I wasn't even thinking Monty Python. I was thinking history.
That was all I was thinking.
But, yeah, both.
Yeah. So, very briefly, what the Spanish Inquisition was. Basically, just to try and put it in the most basic term, when Ferdinand II and Isabel I of Castile became the reigning monarchs of Spain, they decided that they needed to do what they possibly could to maintain Catholic orthodoxy. Through all of Spain's, you know, territories and colonies, and of course within Spain itself. It was originally meant to replace the medieval Inquisition, which was under the control of the papacy. Now, it wasn't the only Inquisition of its kind. There was also an Inquisition that happened in Rome. There was another one in Portugal. But the one that we're talking about here is the one that most people remember, mostly because of how weirdly flamboyant it was, how brutal it was, and how sort of exaggerated it's become over the years. Let me explain. Basically, like I said, is the whole point of the Spanish Inquisition was to maintain Catholic orthodoxy. Their primary targets were those known as conversos. Do you guys know what a converso is?
No.
A converso is a person who had formerly been either Jewish or Muslim or some form of non-Catholic Christian who had converted to the quote-unquote true church, sometimes by choice, other times by force, a lot of times in mass, or they did it just because they wanted to, you know, get ahead in the state bureaucracy, as you know. And so their primary modus operandi was to go amongst the converso community and make sure that everybody involved was still taking part in, you know, orthodox beliefs. They wanted to make sure that anybody who had been converted was either not secretly practicing their old faith, like in secret, which is definitely something that happened, or they had secretly managed to institute some of the old beliefs of their old religions into their new Catholic religious views. Now, the thing about the Spanish Inquisition, of course, wasn't just its infamy, but also its flamboyance. You see, when you were when you became a suspect in the Spanish Inquisition, you basically became a subject in a large sort of legal bureaucracy that basically, You see, in the Spanish Inquisition, oftentimes people who were suspected of heretics were, they were tortured, obviously. But here's the thing. Legally, they could not draw blood.
Well, that leaves loopholes you can drive a truck through, though.
Exactly. That's the point. See, they couldn't draw blood, but they could break bones. They could stretch your limbs. They could hang you by the thumbs or the toes if they wanted. They could put you in stocks. They could beat you. They could brand you. As long as they did not cut you or otherwise make you bleed intentionally, pretty much everything was up for grabs.
Another loophole you could drive a truck through.
Yeah. And here's the other thing about the Inquisition. For the majority of the people who were involved in it, it wasn't like a career choice. It was basically something they took in part in as sort of a stepping stone to another part of the bureaucracy. It was basically temporary. Obviously, the most infamous individual involved with the Inquisition was Torquemada, who became the Grand Inquisitor and was known for probably being the most zealous of all of them. And the reason he is specifically the most infamous is because, as bad as the Inquisition is on paper, in practice it was actually pretty lax compared to the secular law when it was concerned with things like political crimes or something like that. Usually you only got involved, torture was only ever implied if it was a last resort. Most of the time, people would confess, and maybe they would get a branding on the thumb, and then they would have to do penance, but that was basically the end of it. But for about 3% of cases, torture was used, and it usually lasted about 15 minutes. In fact, it actually used torture less than the secular tribunals at the time. And funny enough, there's even stories of people actually blaspheming during the secular tribunals so they could get into the Inquisition tribunals, because the rumor was is that you could get a lighter sentence there. Unless Torquemada was involved, in which case you probably fried. But the thing about the Inquisition is, after an Inquisition was done and you had to do your sentence, there was a thing that happened called the auto de fe. Do you guys know what an auto de fe is?
Can't say I do.
Come on, you guys don't remember the song? Auto de fe? What's an auto de fe? It's what you ought not to do, but you do anyway. It's a movie, people. Come on. It's called History of the World Part 1. It's like one of Mel Brooks' most best movies.
You know, and I just saw that, too, and I forgot.
Yeah. But anyway, this is the part about the Inquisition I wanted to talk about, which is specifically the auto de fe and the tribunal. So I'm going to send you a picture here. This is a picture by Francisco de Goya. I've talked about him on the show before. He's the guy behind the black paintings, most famous of which is Saturn devouring his son. Well, this is a painting he made in the middle of his career. It basically depicts what an auto de fe looked like during the Spanish Inquisition. Now, you'll notice, if you've ever, especially, and this is especially true if you've played Blasphemous, which uses a lot of Spanish Inquisition imagery in the game, you'll notice a few individuals here. The gentleman up on the stand there, and then there's the gentleman down here in the crowd, the three ones in there down there. You notice they're all the clothes that they're wearing, right?
Yeah.
So what you need to know is those are called Sanbenitos. These were a particular set of clothes that you wore if you were being tried as a heretic or a blasphemer in the tribunal of the Inquisition. And they actually created a whole system of symbols and clothing specifically meant to mark those individuals to, you know, what their particular part in the crime, in the Inquisition was and what their penalty will be. Now, the one that was the most commonly worn, it's not particularly fancy or anything. It was called the... It was one that was basically just called the regular San Benito. And it was this image right here. It's literally just, he doesn't have to wear like a cap or anything. He's just wearing that smock over his clothes with the Spanish cross over it. And what that meant is that basically he had... their only sentence was they had to do penance. So, you know, maybe they had to say a bunch of Hail Marys. They had to publicly do penance through the streets, maybe have something thrown, have like vegetables or such thrown after. And after all it was done, the slate was wiped clean. Okay? Nothing too major. You know, nothing too over the top. Just a dude who has to do penance in public and he can go on with his day. Then there was the second ones. These were the ones that actually were sentenced to death. And these were individuals who had committed heresies that were so heinous that they had to die. And this is where it starts getting a little, well, you'll see. So the second version, and I know it's, I think it shows the same image, but I've got like a second. If you click on it, it shows a different image. The second was what was known as the Fuego Revolto. And what it depicted was you had to wear a smock and a conical cap. As you can see in that image by Francisco de Goya, it looks kind of like a dunce cap.
Yeah.
That's essentially what it was. In some of these engravings down here from Gabriel de Leon, it was essentially more like a papal cap. But the point was, it was to mark you for death. Now, what were on these particular clothings was, they show images of fire, but you'll notice in the image, the fire, the drawings of the fire are upside down. This was to symbolize that the heretic was repentant, and that as he died, he would avoid the fire. He would both avoid the pain of burning at the stake, and that he would also be, would not be subjected to the fires of hell. Now, he would probably have to do time in purgatory, because, again, this is Roman Catholicism, and fucking hell, that whole religion is just built on guilt. But
no
joke. Point was, they did not have to suffer the pain of burning alive. Instead, they were garroted before they were burned.
Okay.
You guys know what garroting is, right?
Yep. Yeah. Piano.
Basically,
string.
You're just strangled to death next to a post. Yeah. And then finally, there's the one that's probably the most infamous. The one that was known as the Samara. And I'll just post this right here. This is a person who refused to recant their heresies and therefore was dying unrepentant. The most sort of central figure in de Goya's painting, the one of the person up on the stake, I mean, not up on the stake, but like up on the stand, is wearing a samara. The samara, again, was a smock and a cap. The cap showed rings of flame, and the smock depicted images of dragons and demons and hellfire. And at the very bottom was a drawing of the person who was to die, smoldering in flames, to symbolize both their sentence to the fires of hell and that they were to be burned alive.
Jeez.
So when an auto de fe was officially put on, there was usually a sermon that was given, and then all the individuals that had been convicted were then led in a procession, carrying either a burning stick or a wax candle with no holder. So, you know, they got to have the fucking burning wax going down their hands.
Ouch.
And they would all go to, you know, they would, if they were just going to do public penance, you know, they would say a bunch of Hail Marys, you know, publicly recant their heresies, and then, you know, do whatever the priest told them they needed to do. The repentant priest, the repentant heretic, will then be go there. He will again, you know, publicly recant their heresies, give out some kind of warning about, you know, this is the fate of all those who go against the true church. Then they will have a prayer said over them from the priest, and then, you know, they will be garroted and set on fire. And then the Samara, basically the priest or whatever, or the inquisitor or whatever, will give a sermon, you know, basically publicly condemning the heretic for their heresies, give a warning about the fate of all heretics, and then the person would be burned alive.
Good grief.
Oh, yeah. Did I mention that they didn't burn these smocks with them? No. They took these smocks as trophies and would actually, like, put them over the arches of the church to, like, serve as a warning.
Yeah.
So some of these old, like, Sanbenitos actually still exist. Like, some of these are still in, like, museums and shit. Fact.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. In fact, see, I believe there's, if you go on Google, there's actually still, like, some historical, like, not just, like, old Sanbenitos, but also, like, recreations of Sanbenitos and such. It's pretty grim shit, dude. Here's, like, a really good example, like, a recreation of, like, what these would look like. Here we go. Here's, like, a couple, like, recreations of what these things looked like in person. With the exception, you know, and these are just generic one looking because there's not, like, an actual heretic affixed, you know, wearing them. So, like, the image of, like, the person, you know, the person's face engulfed in flames, or, you know, what their official sentence is written at the bottom isn't there. And that, ladies and gentlemen, has been another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid. You thought growing up Baptist was fucked.
But, you know.
All right. So, with that, it is now time to go on to the show proper. And as always, we have to start off with our assholes of the week. And our biggest asshole of the week is not just Donald Trump, but every fucking person working in the White House. Because last year, the White House was officially briefed that the Russians have been putting bounties on our troops in Afghanistan.
Yep.
And you know why we're only finding out about this now?
Why?
Because they decided to ignore it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, early 2019, so it's been over a year.
What's the definition of treason again?
Yeah.
Giving, aiding, and abetting, and giving comfort to our enemies. And, yeah, you could make a pretty good case for this one. Because once the troops get involved, yeah. And, So, Chris, can you tell us how we found out about this? Like, how the public found out about us? Was there, like, a leak or something?
I think it was just general intelligence had leaked this.
Yeah.
Fairly recently, within the past week or two.
Now, the best argument that the Trump administration has been giving is to say that Trump wasn't briefed on it because he rarely attends his briefings. And apparently that's, first of all, demonstrably untrue. And secondly, that's not a fucking excuse, dude.
That's not a good defense.
No.
It's saying our president is too lazy to get briefed every day.
At best, that means that you have been neglecting your duties as president. Like, that's the absolute best case scenario here.
It didn't say Trump
enough. The worst case scenario is that you sent a bunch of our men to die at the hands of a government that we are very shady dealings with, you yourself and various business partners. And did nothing. You heard all about it from all the people that were working with you. And, you know, you don't have to be the soldier who has to go up to, you know, the widow's fucking house and give the little folded flag to them. You know, you're not the person who has to give, like, the 21-gun salute at the funeral and hand the flag to their crying child.
Yeah, here's the paragraph here that'll make you the most mad. The president receives a copy of the PDB, which is the presidential daily briefing, every day, as does Vice President Mike Pence, but Trump is notorious for not reading it. Even after intelligence and analysts added additional photos and charts to make it more appealing, the document goes unread, according to people familiar with the matter. So he's
here's the thing. That implicates Pence as well.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because he also ignored it. Or did, because if the president wasn't briefed, then that meant Pence said nothing.
Yeah. If the president was briefed, he just didn't care.
Yeah, look it's into it literally further. Murder by neglect, at best.
Yep.
At the absolute best. Because otherwise, it's murder by apathy.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I'm not sure which is worse.
Well, it's still murder.
Yeah. We have the blood of many American soldiers is on your hands, buddy.
Good Lord, he needs to sleep.
Look,
down.
I keep telling myself that, you know, the beginning to the end of this nightmare will all be in November. But I cannot stress this enough. We all have been seeing the media talking about how his numbers are tanking, how all of the demographics he originally appealed to are fleeing him in droves. You know, the shit that he pulled after George Floyd may have permanently crippled his numbers. Do not take any of this for granted.
Nope.
No complacency.
Do not. When you go to vote in November, you go to vote like Biden is dozens of points behind.
You go to vote like your life, your kids' lives, your grandkids' lives, your friends' kids' lives, whoever the fuck.
And I also want to point this out, too. If Trump does lose, and at this point I am absolutely almost guaranteeing that he is not going to win in November.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, because he's going to, you got to understand, he does not officially step down from the office of the presidency until January.
Ample time for all kinds of shit to happen.
Yeah, and I want you to understand, the last couple months of this administration are going to be everything that we've had to deal with up to this point is going to be nothing compared to what these people are going to do once they realize that it's up.
Yep.
They're going to do everything they possibly can those last couple months to get away with as much shit as they possibly can.
Yep. They're going to
I'm also extremely confident that Trump is not even going to be attending Biden's inauguration. He might not even be in the country when that happens. And if he is in the country, he's probably going to be in a prison cell.
Yeah.
I certainly hope so.
We can only hope.
I mean, there's where do we start with the list of things that he could go to prison for?
Yeah. And I also want you to just point out, once January comes around and Biden becomes president, that's still not going to be the end of it.
No.
Because we're also going to have to take apart piece by piece the skeletal remains of his legacy as best as we possibly can. We're going to have to untangle some shit. There's basically going to have to be a straight-up truth and reconciliation thing going to help and fucking, you know, right all the wrongs that he did and, you know, compensate all of the people that he hurt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like the kids who are still in cages. Still in cages.
Decades from now, they're going to build an entire museum dedicated to the shit this administration pulled.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, Pat. Or worse, because a lot of them have been sold into sex trafficking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we do have some other assholes of the week. The other asshole of the week is the Supreme Court, because they were the ones who blocked a lower court's ruling on Alabama's lack of safe voting laws for COVID-19.
Yeah. Yeah, so they were, let's see, a judge, a lower court judge, had ruled requiring Alabama to allow some curbside voting and lift absentee ballot witness requirements for the Republican Senate primary runoff. Mm-hmm. That's going to take place on the 14th. And so the justices voted 5-4 to block it, allowing Alabama to carry out their election under its usual rules.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically just keeping the status quo on that stuff for the time being.
Yeah. Like I said, people, vote in November.
Yep.
And then, this week, also, we've got a handful of cops who are also assholes because, as we know of, as the system stands right now, all cops are bastards. And these guys especially so, because these guys killed Elijah McClain. And then we found out they were fired this week because they all took a goofy-ass photo making fun of him.
Yeah, making fun of how they did. Choked him to death.
Yep.
Yeah, three were fired, one has stepped down.
Yeah.
After a photo surfaced of the three officers mocking the police killing of Elijah McClain,
mm-hmm.
which was Aurora, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the same place the one kid shot up the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Was taken alive.
Yeah.
Peacefully.
Yep.
And yeah, this kid's crime, I'm not sure. So he was walking home from a convenience store last August when he was stopped by three white officers. McClain was tackled, and at least one officer put the young man in a chokehold. Paramedics called to the scene, injected him with ketamine to sedate him. And he went into cardiac arrest on the way to the hospital and died days later after being pronounced brain dead. Never accused of crime. They just killed a kid because they were bored.
Yeah.
And there was a protest.
This is what I also talked about, how, like, you know, Trump isn't the end of the story. Because this is some other shit we're going to have to deal with, too.
Well, the systemic racism that's very deep in this country, the cops are the violent arm of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the front line for it.
Yes.
And yeah, the...
Never forget that your modern police force is meant to be the guardian, the running dog of Capitol. That is their sole purpose.
Yep.
It's not to serve or protect. Even the Supreme Court has said as much.
Yeah, and there was a protest the other day for Elijah McClain.
Mm-hmm.
It was a peaceful protest where there's just people playing violin, and the cops had to intervene violently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because violence was too much for them.
Mm-hmm. Just yeah.
Disgusting. But, I mean, yeah. And we can't get apathetic about it. We can't just dismiss it.
No.
More vigilance. Oh my God, more vigilance.
Yeah. But it's not all bad news, because we do have some heroes of the week, Supreme Court included. But first and foremost, after, God, how many years, the state legislature of Mississippi, and the governor signed off on it, is finally changing the state flag.
Wow.
Yeah.
Didn't
literally,
take long, huh?
It's basically the last, far as I know, it is the last flag in the United States that still uses the Confederate
bars.
Yeah, the Confederate ensign on
yeah,
its
so
flag.
This version of the flag, let's see, 1894, I guess the earliest version, but then they updated it in 96 and then updated again in 2001.
Yeah.
So, as recent as 2001, they said this was okay and updated it.
Yep.
Which is basically the, like, original Confederate flag with the battle flag in the corner.
Yep.
Double Confederacy.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Now, the one caveat to this is that the one, like, compromise they had to make was that the flag can only be changed if the new flag somewhere on the flag says "In God We Trust" on it.
God damn them!
I know, but look, as far if they just put it in Latin, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know what? I can ignore it.
I mean, most people can't read English, let alone Latin.
Yeah. If you want to put "In God We Trust" on there, just put it in Latin. That's fine. Whatever.
I mean, put it on
I'll
the money.
I can deal with it. You know, the worst part is that fucking traitor stamp in the corner, and it's gone, and it's going to be gone soon, so I can
small
deal
steps.
With that.
Small steps. We can take care of that in a few more years.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've been seeing some good jokes lately of actually the last Confederate flag is the white flag.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And for a little while, it was literally the Confederate flag. Remember?
Yep.
Literally, like, for a year or so, the actual Confederate flag was that ensign on the corner of a white field.
Yeah.
And they had to change it because it kept getting mistook as?
Well, what they eventually had to wave.
A flag of surrender. Yes.
Yeah.
And now for the good stuff the Supreme Court did this week. Supreme Court struck down the Louisiana abortion law requiring admitting privileges.
Yep, for doctors performing the procedure.
Mm-hmm.
Which has been one a number of states have tried.
Yeah, and is now officially unconstitutional through the rest of the country.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is the liberal justices plus
I think
Roberts.
It was, John Roberts.
It was really shaping up to be the new Anthony Kennedy.
Yeah.
Well, to put it lightly, the argument he made was that the argument the Supreme Court specifically made here wasn't so much whether they disagreed with the law or not, but specifically that the state was so bullshit in putting this through that it just doesn't hold up under any kind of legal scrutiny. It just kind of falls apart on its own.
Yeah.
But you know what? Fine. You know what? Yeah. Again, like with the flag thing, I can deal with it.
And they actually did hand the Trump administration quite a few L's that day.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't forget the other one about extending, the civil protections to the LGBT community as well?
Yep.
I think that was that last week, I think.
Yeah.
That was massive.
Oh, yeah.
Massive.
And that one ended up being a 6-4 decision, which surprised a lot of people.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, good on them. They did one bad decision and one good decision. All right. Well, now to get on to the show, to the proper show. And first we have to say goodbye to Carl Reiner. He passed away this week at the age of 98. God damn, he's one of those dudes that feels like he was around forever.
Well, I mean, yeah.
And he kind of was, wasn't he?
Yeah, he left a good legacy.
Yeah. Him and Mel Brooks did a lot of stuff together.
Even as recent as a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
A few days before his death.
Yeah. Dude is a fucking legend. Yeah, let's take a quick look at like what this guy did.
Created the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yeah, with Dick Van Dyke himself.
Yep.
He was also he worked with Mel Brooks. It was a comedy duo. He was in movies like It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, The Russians Are Coming, The Russians Are Coming, the Oceans film series, the recent ones. He was director and co-writer for Steve Martin's early famous films, including The Jerk. He was the director of Oh God. If you were basically from the 60s all the way up to the early 90s, this dude was basically a big part of like modern comedy as we see it. And, of course, the other one, of course, being that isn't he Rob Reiner's father?
Yeah.
Or brother? Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had to think on that.
Which
one.
I don't know if you guys have been I've been following Rob Reiner on Twitter for a good long time, and he has a lot of good things to say, although right now, of course, he's just grief-stricken, so.
Yeah.
He himself is 73.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it's true.
He has a lot of great stuff to him. So, great legacy for Carl Reiner.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness, yes.
All right. And, so those. With that, we now move on. Beep, beep. Time to back it up. We got another load from the fucking COVID-19 dump truck. Yeah, so, as of this week, there are nearly 11 million worldwide cases.
Well, they just updated this, so we are over 11 million now.
Yeah. It is now over 11 million worldwide.
11,045,713.
Yeah. 523,000 deaths worldwide. Yeah.
524 now.
Nearly 2.8 million of those cases are within the United States. U.S. has passed the 120,000 mark and is very close to getting Yeah, very close to hitting the 130,000 mark at this point.
Yep.
And now you know why basically the rest of the world has shut their borders to the United States.
Yeah. Do you fucking blame them?
Canada shut down their border. Mexico has shut down their border. The EU has banned all travel from the U.S. coming into it.
Yeah.
Lots of Asia have started putting in similar policies.
Let's start exporting these idiots down to Mexico. Show them what's going on. But yeah, we are at almost 2.8 million. Brazil is at just over 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
And Russia's at 666,000. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we set a new record yesterday.
Mm-hmm. So much winning.
Continue.
We're going to have to beg him to stop. Just like you said.
Yeah. Again, like I said, decades from now, they're going to build a museum specifically dedicated to all the shit that happened under this administration. And they're going to have to dedicate a whole fucking room to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah, should do like the 9/11 memorial of getting all the names.
Yeah.
The people who passed, and this is the blood on Trump's hands.
Mm-hmm.
Because they could have taken even a slightly better stance on the mass stuff early on and saved thousands of lives.
Because,
we hit 55,274 as of late Thursday, which Brazil had the record at 54,771 on June 19th. And I think Dr. Fauci was on doing testimony for the Senate the other day, who's basically saying he wouldn't be surprised if we get to 100,000 a day, which is more than many of these countries on this list. That would be slightly less than what Canada's had over the entirety of the past few months.
Mm-hmm.
More than China has had in the entirety of the past few months, 84,000.
Mm-hmm.
I think Florida passed 10,000 in a day, mm-hmm. which is crazy. I think 20% of the new cases coming out of one state.
Yeah. So, yeah, U.S. sets new record for most cases in a day to surpass Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Testing labs near capacity as cases surge across the country. In Arizona, nearly 1 in 4 coronavirus tests now comes back positive. White House's new motto for the COVID-19 response? Hey, we need to live with it.
That means throw more grandmas on the funeral pyre.
Yeah.
And that's not acceptable.
That's surrender.
Yeah.
That's giving up.
Yeah. But if they are to die, then let them die and decrease the surplus population. That's going to become very relevant when Christmas rolls around this year.
Yeah.
In fact, I think that whole segment with the Ghost of Christmas Present is going to become extremely relevant this year.
Yeah. And this, as I said earlier, is why we are now holed up in our 990 square foot condo.
Yep.
And at this point, I'm going to have groceries delivered again when we need it. Because it's not horrible in Illinois by any stretch of the imagination, but the numbers are back up. They are trending upwards. They have been trending upwards every single day this week. And that's when I nope right out of it.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
And then argue with people on Facebook who complain about their civil liberties being taken.
Sorry. Like, dude, fuck your civil liberties right now.
Yeah. Fuck you right in your fucking ear. I mean, that's what I want to scream at them.
Yeah.
And it's something
my mom didn't want to believe it either, because I've said it before, my mom is a Trump supporter, and she was like, nah, that can't be the case. They're just inflating the numbers because the doctors want to put it on the cases, and, you know, they basically mark every flu death as COVID-19 so they can get extra funding and blah, blah, blah. And this week, she was finally forced to admit that this was happening in Florida.
Yeah.
And the only reason she finally admitted it was because she was talking to because I know, I've told you guys, you know, my parents, they rent and own a timeshare in Florida, right?
Yeah, and they're going to have an economic problem.
Yeah.
They're going to have an economic problem.
Yeah, Florida is going to be in some problems this week. I'm afraid. I think, you know, part of it is just the nature of Florida itself. hey. You know, just it's hot and it's humid and it's basically an entire state of insane people.
Yeah.
Yeah. The problem is we're, you know, the whole thing of the, you boil a lot, you don't put a lobster in boiling water. You put it in cold water and heat it up. That's what we're doing. We're seeing these numbers go up slowly. So we're like, oh, it's not a big problem. There's only 50 more cases in my county this day.
Yeah.
That's not many people.
Mm-hmm. That's a good analogy.
It's actually been going up each day. Mm-hmm. Like I was just looking at the worldwide totals and how many days it took us to hit every 500,000.
Mm-hmm.
It was going up. It was like 7 days, 7 days, 6 days, 6 days, 5 days, 5 days, 5 days, 4 days, 4 days. Like, this is not a problem that's getting better.
No.
That's exponentially getting worse. Because people are too selfish to think about anybody outside of their own household.
And our government is too wussy to do anything to properly have some teeth behind mask laws.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Although a few of them are. Man, a few of them are starting to find people.
Yeah, it's true.
And Trump compared himself to the Lone Ranger when he wears a mask.
Even though that's
the wrong goddamn part of your body.
Did you see the video of the guy sleeping on the plane?
Yeah.
With the mask over his eyes instead of his mouth?
Mm.
I want a t-shirt printed that says something to the effect of, wearing a mask with your nose hanging out is like wearing boxers with your
dick hanging out.
Yeah. But I need to word it so that I won't get asked to take it off in stores. Well, I'll leave. I mean, I can't just take it off in stores. What the fuck?
Yeah, put it up on Etsy. You'll make a fortune.
Right? Red shirt, Teespring.
Yep.
Yeah. Of course, there's not a, you know, as the pandemic is going on, there are various drugs and medicines developed to aid in the treatment of it. One of them is a drug called Remdesivir.
Mm-hmm.
And the United States now owns the world stock of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for the next 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And what are other countries going to do to us in response? Sanctions.
Yep.
Yeah, so let's see. The first 140,000 doses have been used up for drug trials. Now we've bought more than 500,000 doses. Shall have Gilead's production for July, 90% of August and September. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... The drug was trialed in the Ebola pandemic, but failed to work as expected. Mm-hmm. It's under patent to Gilead. Should know their company in wealthy countries can make it.
Mm-hmm.
The cost is around $3,200 per treatment of 6 doses.
Yeah. And
I'm sure the government is going to pay it forward.
Yep.
For the money they've paid for this.
Mm-hmm.
Because who's going to be able to afford $3,000 for a set of treatments for this if you get it?
Mm.
Especially when, for people that, you know, have only maybe gotten one stimulus check.
Yeah.
Well, there is only one stimulus check.
Some people didn't get it.
Yeah, I know. My brother didn't get it. And they said, well, you may have to wait until September, I believe he said.
Mm-hmm.
And he called. He's like, all she did was read a script. Didn't take any information, like nothing. So, yeah, if you didn't get it, well, pff, good fucking luck.
Oh, yeah, you know how one of Trump's slogans is America First?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen what his new logo is for that, for his 2020 campaign?
Yes.
What is it?
It's basically the Nazi eagle symbol.
It's the Iron Eagle. Yeah. You haven't seen this?
This
is horrible. Oh.
I'm going to look it up here. I'll send you the link. Here it is. You need to see this, because it's...
I didn't message you because I thought for sure that hit your radar.
Yeah. It's the Iron Eagle. Yeah. And
just,
instead
of the Nazi symbol, it's the American flag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, the eagle is just a little different. I would like to think, because I would like to think that this is unintentional, but at this point, I cannot take that for granted anymore.
It's too many coincidences.
No. Yep. Mm. Yep. I mean, it's too spot on. The eagle holding the round medallion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Yeah.
Even the way, the direction the eagle's head is facing.
Yep, there's no possible devil's advocate to play here. Yeah. It's just so obvious.
Yeah. But anyway.
I think the eagle's head goes both ways for the Nazi symbol anyway.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he's either a Nazi or he employs Nazis. Doesn't care.
Well, we know he employs them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And either Nazis or the children of Nazi collaborators. Like, what was his name? Chubby dude with beard and the glasses.
Gorka? Sebastian Gorka?
Yeah, Sebastian Gorka. Yeah, he's the child of Hungarian Nazi collaborators.
Shocking.
Yeah. But moving on from there, 9 more NBA players tested positive this week.
Yep. I don't know, you guys. They're not going to be able to do this.
Well, the issue is that they're not testing the people working at the hotels. They're right. Putting these players in.
And I think ventilation is going to end up becoming a huge issue with the spread of this in indoor places.
Yeah.
Yeah. And next up, the UK put up a list this week of people of 59 countries that when they came to London for the 14-day sort of quarantine that's happening in the city of London, they are exempt from. And the reason is because, to their judgment, these people have done well enough in the prevention of COVID-19 that they do not pose a risk, they believe. Mm-hmm. Guess which country didn't make the list?
Could it be the winning country of the USA?
Yep.
Yep. Oh, and I also saw, but I can't corroborate this with any credible news sources, that there was a private jet trying to enter Italy for a tour of Rome with U.S. citizens, and they're like, fuck off.
Hell to the no.
Yeah. So I didn't put that on our list, but I did see that. And, you know, it's probably true. And even closer to home, not international borders, Governor Cuomo fired shots and said that a big laundry list of states can't come into New York without a 14-day quarantine. And a couple of days later, Illinois' Governor Pritzker did the same thing. Mm-hmm. And sadly, yeah. Pat, Utah made it on the list.
Which, deservedly so.
Yeah, and, you know, New Mexico, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Florida, Texas, obviously. New Mexico, mm-hmm. Did I already say that? I think New Mexico was on there, Nevada. Fucking Idaho. Boise, Idaho is a huge hot zone right now. And why?
Oh, yeah, it's almost as red as Utah, if not redder.
Yeah, that mm-hmm. place is like, it's tiny. I've been there before. Boise's like, well, I mean, I guess I shouldn't compare it to Chicago.
It's still a metropolitan area, yeah.
It is, but their mall only had 2 levels. It was only a 2-story mall, so they did not pass my test, which I'm going to have to revise that test since malls are very passe now. But they were not in the 90s, and everybody's saying that the problem in Boise is the bars. The bars open back up, and they're super spreaders.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm sure everybody's already heard about that, but one of
those. Oh, yes.
Yeah, there's a whole movement called Bar Lives Matter, and...
Are you...
I'm not kidding. That's a thing.
Okay, are they using it in a way to positively peer pressure dumbasses to stay home from the bars?
No, they're doing it to support the bars.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Don't forget all of the Karens and the... and finally, at the end of it, in Gettysburg... There is, of course, a museum that's dedicated to the Battle of Gettysburg. You know, sort of a big turning point in the war. infamously the most violent battle ever fought on American soil.
Mm-hmm.
And a group of local politicians went there, including a Republican representative who ended up getting kicked out of the museum because she refused to wear a mask.
Oh, fucking course.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is there really anything else to add to that?
You know, I am beyond sick of the debates over the masks.
Yeah.
I lit into some people on Facebook, as I alluded to earlier, and the very final parting shot was that I shudder to think of what our grandkids are going to think of us. And just know that I was lighting into some mommy Karens. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to really, really hit it home for them, but it's going to fall on deaf ears. You guys know that, right? Mm. It's
especially thinking how the grandparents are going to relate to the grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, back in my day, I told these fuckers I wasn't wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't breathe.
So, back in your day, you didn't give a goddamn about your fellow humans, huh?
Fuck
yeah.
Is that
what you're trying to tell me? Do you care about me, Grandma? Do you fucking care about me?
Or were no,
you
fuck you.
Down the river for a fucking not mask?
Like, well, of course I care about you, Dick. My dearie, you're what?
You know, we thought it was over.
Mm-hmm.
We thought it was over, but it's not.
But, yeah, so that's the COVID-19 dump truck this week. Going to put it back in the garage. It'll come out again next week, because it will.
Yeah.
At this point, it is like death and taxes. It is inevitable.
Very much so.
But anyway.
Okay.
All right. Moving on to another story. Jeffrey Epstein, his ghost still haunts the place. And as you don't know, this week, his ex-girlfriend and accomplice in soliciting people for girls for sex trafficking, Ghislaine Maxwell, was arrested. And now one of Jeffrey Epstein accusers has come forward saying that, oh no, Epstein wasn't just the only rapist. She raped me as well, multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not to be just treated as an accomplice. She is very much
a perp,
a sexual assault, yep, assaulter, as much as Jeffrey Epstein was. She is a rapist, yes.
Yeah. No doubt about it. And let's just hope that the people, the victims, who so desperately want some justice, let's hope that she gets to stand and makes it to sentencing.
Yeah.
Unlike Epstein.
Who suspiciously died of a... I think he was found, like, hanging in his prison cell.
Yep.
He
yeah.
suspiciously died of Prince Andrew's scared to deathness.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. And, right, so, moving on from there, 4th of July is tomorrow. It's almost here. And once again, every single dog in America clenched its butthole super tight. Because it knows what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And a new hashtag is currently trending on Twitter. Benedict Donald.
Yep. And some of these posts
are brutal.
Yeah, and rightfully so. And I so hope that he is aware of this hashtag. I don't know how he couldn't be. I mean, it's on the top 10 trending right now.
Yeah.
Or it was earlier today.
Well, let me see.
That's the language he speaks.
Yep.
Let me see. Yeah, it's still there.
Yep, it definitely is.
Well, it seems like he is at Mount Rushmore right now. So he's
Or he's supposed to be heading there, because he's supposed to be doing something there
they're like
tomorrow.
Doing fireworks and such.
Yeah. And it's especially kind of iffy right now, because the Ogallala and Sioux peoples are once again back in court over the ownership of the Black Hills. Of which yeah. Rushmore is a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I found out the artist that did the sculpting for Mount Rushmore also did Stone Mountain.
Yep. Yes, he
I
did.
I realized those two were tied that directly.
Yeah.
Yep. Although, for his part, it wasn't really an ideological thing. Apparently, he was just insane.
He just won't take any work.
Seriously.
Yeah. Especially when you find out, like, what his original plans for Mount Rushmore were. Okay, it's just a quick question. Have any of you guys ever been to Rushmore before?
No.
No.
I haven't either. But I've had family who've been there. And when you go there, they've got, like, a little museum there that's also there. And they show you, like, a mock-up of, like, what the original plan for the whole sculpture was. It was a lot more ambitious than what it ended up being. Like, they were supposed to have, like, Washington and I think Jefferson and Lincoln's, like, entire body.
Jesus.
Yeah. You can kind of see some of it. Like, you can see, like, Washington's collar. And you can see a bit of what was supposed to be Lincoln's hand. But it's basically, like, the whole sort of saga of Rushmore is that, again, it's in the Black Hills, which is supposed to be owned by the Lakota and the Sioux and the Ogala. But back in the mid-1800s, that was originally the deed. They were given the deed to the land by the government, and then it was immediately rescinded when people found out that there was gold in their hills.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the sort of Rushmore kind of inadvertently ended up being the site of the sculptor's project. He had already tried to do similar places at other mountains, and this was the one he got. Like I said, the thing's only is not finished. It is unfinished. It's barely larger than Stone Mountain. It's got a bunch of trash everywhere. There's a huge pile of rubble at the bottom that nobody has ever bothered to clean up because the guys who were working on the sculpture after the guy died, they just walked off the job and never came back.
They probably stopped getting paid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have walked too.
Yeah.
And so, updates, that event is happening tonight, the Trump event.
Oh.
Since he's a couple time zones back, it's going to be late for us here on the East Coast.
Yeah.
But there are protesters there, so.
But there is actually, like, I think a couple billion dollars that's sitting in the U.S. Treasury that is specifically meant to be a monetary compensation to the Lakota peoples in, for, you know, that particular area of the Black Hills, and they have refused to take the money because to them that part of that whole area is like their Eden. It's like,
yeah, it's sacred to them.
Yeah, and putting monetary value is something they aren't comfortable with.
No, it's an insult is what it is.
Yeah. There's been talk about, because I'm of the belief that eventually they are going to get ownership of the whole thing back, and people have been talking, it's like, what's going to happen to that monument when they do? And the truth is, it doesn't matter because it's not our decision to make. Yeah. I mean, it's good, you know, it still brings in tourist revenue, so they would be like, okay, we can maybe deal with it so it'll bring in some money for the tribe, but they're perfectly within their rights to just dynamite the thing off the mountain.
That'd be pretty good, tourist traction right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Saw some of the rubble, too. I just love the Mount Rushmore, because you can tell that George Washington was the first thing they put up there, because they put all sorts of detail, like, started doing the shirt and all this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, shit, we have to put the other three on there. Fuck. we'll just do faces, because we don't have time for the rest of this shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you're doing a sign, you're like, oh, I got all this room to put this message on here, and you get through halfway through the first word, and you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
I gotta start making these letters look weird because I can't fit anymore.
Yeah. Also, if you're wondering why Roosevelt is up there, because he was friends with the sculptor.
Yeah.
That's literally the only reason he's up there.
That seems very much like recency bias.
Yeah. Like, you can understand the other was like Washington, father of the country. Jefferson, he wrote the Declaration of Independence. Lincoln, he reunited the country and freed the slaves. Roosevelt.
I've heard of him.
Well, I mean, if you like, you like national parks.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that, but that's not the reason he's up there.
Yeah.
And I mean, Roosevelt was a legit badass, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
But.
He was an asshole, but he was a badass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, next up. And this is actually something that has been going around. It's a rumor that a lot of people have been talking about. A prediction, really. James Carville. You guys know who James Carville is, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
A raging Cajun. He's famous for being...
Barely audible.
His thick Cajun accent. He's looks like somebody opened the Ark of the Covenant.
He's married to what's her face?
Mary Madeline.
Yeah,
they're total opposites.
Yeah, she's a conservative Republican. Somehow they make it work.
Yeah, he's on Tony Kornheiser's podcast during the football season, usually to bet. He does like a little bit of like, hey, what games would you bet on? Kind of thing. He pulls out like the most random college football games, like no teams anybody would care about. And he has to constantly yell at him, like, speak into your phone because I can't understand what you're saying. That kind of thing.
Yeah, but
because he's an old man,
he is,
just talking,
repeating a prediction that has been going around
a lot
of the political space this week, is that Trump might actually just straight drop out of the race and not seek.
Re-election.
Yeah,
I don't see this happening.
Yeah, that's,
I guess,
the problem.
A straight up fantasy to that people come up with, like, oh, maybe he'll drop out. You don't have to worry about voting.
Well,
all
he
that
doesn't.
Kind of stuff.
I mean, at the point where he thinks that he can't win, he may just fucking throw up his hands and quit.
Yeah, I think he's got enough ego to think
he
could win.
Is he, you know, would his ego allow him to? Because when you're talking about Donald Trump and any action he takes, you have to think, is he able to, like, allow, is his ego going to allow him to do something like this?
Yeah.
I think his ego would allow him to do that a lot sooner than it would allow him to lose an election.
Yeah.
I think so, too, and he has no warm feelings for Pence, it seems.
Yeah.
And he would toss he would toss him right under the bus into a losing election.
He has joked about how racist he is, or how much of a homophobe he is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which, like, why the fuck are you doing this to your second in command?
Yeah.
Normal people.
And also, it's kind of a lose-lose situation, because he can stay in the race and, you know, end up getting humiliated in the election, or he can drop out, which means that Pence becomes the official nominee, and he'll end up losing anyway, because where Trump goes, his followers go.
Remember the whole thing with last time around? People were like, all you have to do is just drop out, because, you know, you just wanted to prove that you could do this, you could get this far.
Yeah.
Nobody would, you know, say anything bad about you for, you know, dropping out. In fact, you'd be a hero. And like, no, he stuck around, he fucking won. He has no reason to give up, because he's been given long odds the entire time he's tried to run for president here in the past 5 years. His ego's not going to let him think that he's actually going to lose.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, next up, there is a talk about, like, who would be a good nominee for Joe Biden's vice president, and people at USA Today actually suggested Tammy Duckworth.
Yeah, that rumor has also been going around quite a bit prior to USA Today posting that.
Yeah.
That would be a good contrast to the way Trump treated, let's say, John McCain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See,
Tammy Duckworth,
Illinois.
She's a war hero of one of the more recent wars.
Mm-hmm.
She shed blood for the country. She literally lost 3 of her limbs because of it.
Yeah.
And she's a woman of color.
She is.
Yes. Yeah.
She was actually born. Where was she born? But to a U.S. citizen.
Yeah.
One of her parents was a U.S. citizen.
Yeah.
So she's eligible. And she's seasoned. She knows the fucking ropes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's been there a while. So.
Yeah, she has been. And she is responsive to her base. which is a good thing because her base is far more sane than Trump's.
Her base is not horrific.
No, we're not. I would support that in a heartbeat. I wish that there was a black woman instead. Just because of the optics. Frank.
I think you could throw
because of the optics.
Kamala Harris in there. And Darcy would be safe.
No.
I know that, but I'm saying, like, you have to also think about the seat they're leaving behind. And California is pretty safe to replace her with another Democrat.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
And here, Pritzker would replace Duckworth with another Democrat, too.
Yeah.
So no issues for Illinois with that. And I think that she would do a great job if Biden starts to lose a shit or if he dies. I mean, he's an old guy. He's a real old guy. Yeah. Real old guy. But
real
But I wish that we had somebody with her experience with maybe not with her exact credentials, because I wouldn't wish like three missing limbs on anybody. But I wish we could get a black woman.
Yeah.
I just think that would seal the deal on the presidency.
Yeah. And speaking of women in politics, Amy McGrath won the Democratic senatorial primary in Kentucky, and she will be facing off against Mitch McConnell in November.
Yes.
Now, Amy McGrath is a woman. She's also a veteran. She was a Navy pilot. Yeah, it's like, there you go.
Yeah. I could have been good with either one. Charles Booker,
he would have been good too.
Because he did really well. Almost beat her near the end, but then I think he set up well to run next time for Rand Paul.
Yeah.
The human asshole.
Yeah.
Please.
Because he was basically saying some dumb shit this week, saying, what do these experts know about the coronavirus?
Well, they fucking know more than you.
They know how to not get beat up by their fucking neighbor.
Yeah.
Never going to let that one die because
I especially am like, this guy is, because here's the thing about both Rand Paul and his father, they're both doctors.
Yeah. Yeah, but so's Ben Carson. So.
Wait, Rand is too?
Yep, Rand is also a doctor.
See, that was the only excuse I would have given him. Oh my God.
But you didn't know that?
I just thought Ron Paul was a doctor.
Nope, his Rand Paul is also a doctor. I mean, I think it's a different part of medicine because Ron was a surgeon. But
what the fuck?
God, his signature they have here on Wikipedia is the most childlike thing. Because there's like the R, A, N, D, you know. Nothing like Trump's was just chicken scratch. Bullshit. You know what's a fun fact about how old Trump is?
What?
How old do you think he is in comparison to his mother-in-law?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's probably older than his mother-in-law by far.
He's 1 year younger than her.
Oh, I figured he'd be like 8 years older than her.
No. He is fucking off.
Trophy wife.
Yeah.
You never want to be that close in age to your in-laws.
Mm-hmm. No.
You don't have more in common with your in-laws than your wife or husband.
Yeah. And now to the place where insanity reigns, apparently, the state of Colorado, where a gun-toting restaurateur actually managed to beat a 5-term congressman in their Republican primary.
Yeah, and she is a conspiracy nut as well.
She's a QAnon person.
Oh, no.
Or she's heard of it. She stopped short enough of saying she was an actual follower, but she had heard. Saying, everything I've heard of Q, I hope that this is real because it only means that America is getting stronger and better and people are returning to conservative values.
Fuck you and your conservative values right in your fucking clenched asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Yeah, so,
I'm done with people.
She beat Scott Tipton.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth House member, I assume it's all the... Well, no, it's two Republicans plus him... that have lost their primary bids this year. The other one was Democrat Daniel Lipinski of Illinois. They were ousted by their challengers in their primaries.
Sorry. Yeah. Fireworks scared me.
Oh. Yeah, they're already getting ready to send them out, I guess.
Oh, they've been going for about a week here.
And yeah, now it's the weekend. Mm-hmm. So,
okay, Kat?
Good kid. But anyway.
And she runs against Diane Mitch Bush, former state lawmaker, won the Democratic nomination on Tuesday, defeating businessman James Iacino. Yeah, so Tipton beat her last year, or 2018. So we'll see how it goes this time around, now that it's both newcomers. And one that seems crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy, man. The election this year, other than the big one, is going to be equally as insane.
Oh, yes. And you guys, if you haven't done mail-in ballot registration, might want to get it done.
Yeah. Okay. Next up, Senators Elizabeth Warren. Let's see, what's the third? What's the second guy? It's Edward Markey and Bernie Sanders have all gotten together to introduce a bill that will end qualified immunity for police officers.
Yes.
So, goodness. Yeah.
Because if they're not going to, if they're going to get protected by their freaking police union, and normally I would never speak bad about a union, this is the exception.
Well, to
I
be mean, fair, yeah, police unions aren't really like labor unions. They're more like fraternities.
Yeah. Well, they should be able to be held accountable personally, so they can be sued personally for damages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we essentially just need to break up the police unions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would help solve a good portion of the issues.
Yep. And let's see. In Sussex County in Delaware, outside of the Sussex County Courthouse, there was, until this week, an 8-foot-tall whipping post. It's not there anymore. But it stayed up there for up until... I mean, it was...
It was used until it's been there for a hot... 1952, yeah. So...
Uh-huh. And it was basically used to bind and whip people for crimes, disproportionately African-American.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is in Georgetown, Delaware.
Yep.
Being moved to an HCA storage facility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it ain't just the former Confederacy that a lot of this shit still is going to have to be done at. It's all over the country.
It's true.
Confederacy is all the way up to Virginia.
Yeah.
Oh, Virginia was the fucking seat.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys, quit with those goddamn fireworks. We're podcasting here.
Speaking of Virginia, the mayor of Virginia, of Richmond, Virginia, used his emergency powers to have a Stonewall Jackson statue removed.
Yeah, this is the one that you've probably seen protesters trying to pull down.
Yep.
Yeah, so they had, I think state legislatures gave mayors the powers recently in the past week or so to have them pulled down.
Yep.
Particularly because, yeah, this Richmond is the capital of the Confederacy, or was.
Yeah.
The crazy thing is the whole meme on Twitter and all that's been like the Confederacy is only around for like 5 years.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually only around for 4.5.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it was like, I mean, what have
I
you
went
done
to
for
college longer than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's something that didn't even last 5 years somehow is still a fucking huge issue. But yeah, they had this pulled down on Wednesday afternoon to remove it, as a bunch of people were hanging around to watch it get pulled down. Been in there for more than 100 years. Yeah, they managed to get it down just before 5 p.m. as a thunderstorm drenched the crowd. So people were really excited to see this thing get taken down. They were willing to endure thunderstorms for that. So yeah. I guess he's also planning to take down some other statues, but he did not name or identify the ones, but yeah, that's it's good news.
Yeah.
Especially said, cited that they were a threat to public safety. Mm-hmm. Some of the threats to cities pose as a reason for using his powers, because, you know, some of these aren't made of, like, cheap metal that's, you know, mm-mm, will just fold when it lands. Some of these are made out of fucking bronze and other hard shit that'll potentially kill people if they're not careful.
Yeah.
Yep.
You don't want that to fall on you.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
It's a bad time.
Yep.
0 out of 10, do not recommend.
Nope. Now.
Yeah, state law went into effect that day. It gave localities the ability to remove or alter Confederate monuments in their communities. The measure outlines a process for potential removal, including public notice and a public hearing. It says once the city votes for removal, for a period of 30 days, offer the monument or memorial for relocation and placement to any museum, historical society, government, or military battlefield.
Hmm. Alrighty then. Next up, Trump retweeted a video of one of his supporters saying white power to protesters, even though he claims he didn't watch it. So the context of this video is it's from it's one of those, like, gated retirement communities in Florida.
Shocking.
Yeah. Where it's like everybody's old, super old, and they ride around in golf carts and stuff. And yeah. As you can imagine, the Trump presidency has divided this particular community right down the middle. And the context was there was a bunch of protesters out there protesting Trump. And this guy comes riding by in his golf cart, and basically he just starts screaming white power. Now, the lady that was holding an anti-Trump sign, she, I guess, called him a Nazi pig, and so he goes, white power, in response.
And apparently, they couldn't get a hold of Trump to take the post down earlier because he was...
out golfing.
Yeah, and wasn't answering his phone.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the White House Deputy Press Secretary... did not apologize for the tweet or condemn the racist term, but said instead, President Trump is a big fan of the villages, which is that community. Mm. He did not hear the one statement made on the video. What he did see was a tremendous enthusiasm from his many supporters.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he also said, let's see, Trump retweeted the video and said, thank you to the great people of the villages. The radical left do nothing. Democrats will fall in the fall. Corrupt Joe is shot. See you soon.
Mm-hmm.
Keep telling yourself that, sunshine. Vote, people. Vote in November.
Yeah, which right. Biden shot back.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, today the president shared a video of people shouting white power and said they were great, just like he did after Charlottesville. We're in a battle for the soul of the nation, and the president has picked a side, but make no mistake, it's a battle we will win.
Mm. Like I said, vote. Anyway,
yep.
Yeah. And now some good news from Reddit. Reddit had a huge purge this week where they ended up banning the Donald subreddit and 2,000 other subreddits associated with it. And also Twitch banned Trump's channel as well.
Yeah, because he was live streaming his rallies on there. So mm-hmm. they finally got the courage to just ban it.
Mm-hmm.
Or hate speech and all that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Reddit banned a number of subreddits, particularly the Donald, which unfortunately has not really been in much use of late because they kind of saw this coming and managed to make their own site to congregate it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they had 790,000 subscribers as of Monday before it was shut down. But yeah, there's others that are like specifically for TERFs and all that kind of stuff. A lot of shitty stuff.
Unfortunately, they also, I guess because in a way to show how quote-unquote fair they are, they also banned subreddits like Chapo Trap House, which is a left-wing group associated with a DemSoc podcast of the same name.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
A lot of this is
more false equivalency.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of this is the people running Reddit basically saying, like, yeah, our communities need to abide by our content policy in good faith. We banned r/TheDonald because it's not done so despite every opportunity. And saying the same things for, like, the mods. So, like, they broke rules, didn't seem to make any attempts to try to change course, but that kind of stuff. So I don't know what the other stuff is, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta cut out a huge chunk of it.
Mm-hmm.
To cut out the cancer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only problem is now you don't really have them all focused in one place. Now they got to spread out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
They'll congeal again. Mm-hmm. Don't worry.
They'll find other subreddits to hang out in.
Mm-hmm.
It's like game facts. When you shut down one that they like to be in, they'll find another game to just start doing other bullshit in.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
And next up, Disney Plus. Disney Plus is getting a new visual album from Beyonce, and it's going to be called Black is King.
Does that mean that it's just simply a music video album? What is a
that's
visual
what it
album?
Is.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Inspired by the Lion King soundtrack that she worked on. Yeah, written, directed, and executive produced by Beyonce. It'll be out July 31st. It's just after the 1 year of anniversary of the theatrical release of Disney's Lion King remake, which she voiced Nala.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they have a teaser trailer out for it, linked in this article. Yeah, based on the music of The Lion King, The Gift, which was released last year alongside the movie.
Yeah, we didn't really like it.
I couldn't. I tried the Aladdin one for like 5 minutes, and I couldn't, so I didn't even try that.
Yeah. I've already got the original movie on Blu-ray. Why would I want to watch this?
Right.
But, and finally, Netflix is getting a new Ava DuVernay series about Colin Kaepernick.
Yep. Yeah, so this one is titled Colin in Black and White, six-episode series. Provides a look at Kaepernick's early life as a black child growing up with a white adopted family, and his journey to become a great quarterback while defining his identity. Also explore what led him to become a civil rights advocate, so...
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm not sure when it's going to be out. She's been working on this for a while, so I imagine it's not too far from release, but I don't think they have a date just yet, but just putting it out there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. And
so it'll be like a dramatic series.
Yeah. All right. I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks. So I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question or comment or something you want us to read on the air, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We have it linked for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or pretty much any place that is your favorite podcast aggregator. And if we're not on there, just wait a few minutes. We will eventually. So, with all of that, I would like to say thank you to all of our listeners. It's kind of a new era for us, but it's one we're both we're excited about, and we'll see where it goes. So I have been your host, Brent Perkins. This has been Les Weekend. And for Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Samus, and Chris Elogi, good night, sleep tight, go out and vote on November, people.